Welcome back to the Clean Sailors Podcast. Let's talk about sea, marine, sailing, and keeping it clean. I'm your host, Holly, founder of Clean Sailors, and a sailor myself with a passion for the health of our mighty oceans. Through conversations with experts, innovators, and activists, all working towards improving the health of our seas, we're showcasing the people and projects changing the way things are done. During the 1950s, glass fiber reinforced polyester, GRP, FRP fiberglass composites displaced wood as the material of choice for boats, as it's easier to manufacture, smoother hydrodynamic surfaces, and significantly reduce the maintenance cost of keeping a vessel. Such materials revolutionized not just the production of vessels, leisure boats in particular, but also the accessibility of boating to a much wider audience. However, the durability of the composite materials is now becoming an issue, given that many boats are no longer required and disposal is not trivial or cheap. Today, I'm joined by two teams changing the way boats are built. Welcome to Alessandro Stagni from NL Composite and Patrick Picchetti from ReCarbon. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Ollie.
I look forward to hearing about the work that you're doing for the industry. But first, Alessandro, tell us a little bit about NL Composite. What do you do? How big are you? And what do you specialize in?
NL Composite is an Italian startup, a clean tech company that operates in the field of recyclable composite materials. We were founded by the end of 2019. Actually, we are five shareholders that are working within the company, and we are trying to revolutionize the way to make composites, to make this industrial fit more sustainable. In these years, we have in-depth studied the problem, and we have developed some materials that meet this recyclability constraint.
And when you say problem, we're going to come on to that in just a second, because it's a really important part of this conversation. But Patrick, I want to hear about ReCarbon. What do you do, and what are your values?
Hi, everybody. Thank you again, Ollie, to host us. I'm Patrick Pacchetti, an aeronautical engineer, and I'm actually the project manager of ReCarbon. And ReCarbon is an Italian innovative startup funded last May 2022. So we are really young, we can say. Our approach is transforming the carbon fiber waste into new valuable intermediate products in different forms, different components like organo sheets or sandwich panels, in order to contributing building a new sustainable and circular economy. That's mainly what we do. So we use recycled carbon fiber waste. We transform it in new intermediate products in order to fulfill the needs of the market in terms of new components. So we transform the waste into valuable components. That's it.
You say that's it, but it sounds incredibly complicated. Obviously, merely changing carbon into something else. But I really want to talk about sort of the boat building, how boat building materials have changed over the years. And actually, why is it a problem, Alessandro?
I would say that boat building material did not change much over the last 80 years since 1940s, when the industry switched from wood-based vessels to glass fiber-based vessels. And this fact is that because glass fiber has incredible properties in terms of strength, stiffness, lightness, and it's extremely durable. So it does not need a lot of maintenance, but on the other hand, this led to the fact that it cannot be easily disposed once we need to get rid of these materials. Today, glass fiber is used also in many other different industrial fields, from the automotive to wind turbine blade. So a problem that I would say was born with the boat building is now spread over all the industrial field. And with the same technological issues and the same issues in terms of recyclability and management of the disposed specimens.
Do you know anywhere in the world that's actually recycling successfully GRP or FRP? Or is the only solution really now to look at how we're producing new material?
Over the years, there have been a lot of efforts in trying to find a sustainable solution for recycling glass fiber, let's say, but none of them was really successful. And this is because the recycling of glass fiber up now is done by using a lot of energy and a lot of effort, which means that it's really expensive. And you get a product that does not have the mechanical properties that have originally glass fiber. So you're spending money to have a worse product, and this is not feasible for the industry. So in the end, there is not like a circular economy for glass fiber because it's not economical.
But when you say, obviously, you're spending a lot of time and money, but also energy, I mean, it's a very chemical heavy process to start breaking down GRP, FRP, right? So there's a point where you try and become perhaps sustainable in reusing a product, but ultimately you're incredibly unsustainable by the amount of energy and otherwise you've got to consume by trying to change that product into something that's, again, useful, like you said. Was this NL Composites' main focus, was trying to build a composite that could work, function very differently and ultimately be reused again?
We see that there is not like a really promising way in finding a recyclable, a sustainable way to recycle glass fiber and carbon fiber. We tried to change the paradigm and we changed the materials involved in creating these composite materials. And so, as you said before, historically, composite glass fiber and composite material in general are based on thermoset resins. And we find a way to use thermoplastic resin that have some issues from the manufacturing point of view, but if well-treated, can allow an easy and feasible recyclability of the composite material.
So the process of building the composite, because it's thermoplastic resin effectively, you can more easily break it down at the end in comparison to GRP, FRP.
The process is the same, but for the kind of material involved in the process. We substitute thermoset resins with the thermoplastic resin to allow recyclability. And also we implement natural fibers instead of synthetic fibers to be more environmentally friendly.
So you're reducing the content also of kind of man-made synthetic materials and substituting it with the natural ones. I appreciate that Clean Sailors and NL Composite did launch a recyclable dinghy in the last couple of years. I can say no more on the matter at this point, but I think it was obviously incredibly revolutionary. I know we've used that word a lot, but it really is quite exciting to see how the technologies have shifted so quickly and something that arguably the industry has grappled with for at least a decade now, sincerely, around end-of-life materials, how boat builders such as yourself are actually forwarding the process and showing what's possible. And actually, by both of you, incredibly small and incredibly new teams. So it's really, really exciting. I appreciate this is a new field in some ways for ReCarbon, Patrick. I appreciate, obviously, sustainable engineering is really what your company is about. Why was this relationship with NL Composite and the marine industry exciting for ReCarbon?
In ReCarbon, we started producing new intermediate products based on recycled carbon fiber, especially. And how Alessandro said, you know, the main focus was on the kind of resin. So we produce and we focus on the thermoplastic resin. Our products are mainly based on thermoplastic resins. So not only to reuse the waste, so the recycled material, but also the recyclability of them. So in terms of reuse, the end of life, it's better, of course. We, at the time, back 2 years ago, we were producing only the organosheets, so the small thickness. They asked about the feasibility of making something thicker in order to reach the correct component for the nautical market for their boats. So we started an internal R&D process, and we ended with the beginning of this year with the patent pending technology for these kind of sandwich panels, all thermoplastics. So they are basically made with thermoplastic recycled carbon fiber skins and different different kind of thermoplastic foams without the using the addition of additives, bonding, etc. So it's a 100% thermoplastic. And also it has a better managing of the end of life due to the fact that it doesn't have any glues, any thermoset glues, anything like this, any additives. So you can also recover the material and recycle it in other components or new components, etc. So basically the starting point was a meeting back in 2022. So we were the newborn and when we met, but in less than 2 years, we have the product. We already made a demonstrator, a component in their boat they presented last year in the Eco Racer. So we are working together for the new boat, the new yachts, etc. So we are now trying to solve, we have to be 100% sustainable, or at least we try to reach that kind of sustainability. So when we have a full thermoplastic and sustainable component, now we have to have also the sustainable bonding, we can say. So we are trying together to avoid the usage of glues, thermosets, epoxy resins, etc., in order to compose the component, manufacture the component, and also install on the boat without using any kind of non-sustainable application. So that's the point. We are working together in this year, probably all this year, for the new boat. And we are willing to reach the solution, I think, within the year. That's the goal, I mean.
Exceptionally exciting design challenge, right? Because I think, yes, like you said, I appreciate you've got your thermoplastic process, NL composite, you know, you've got the carbon basalt and the flaxes going in to help strengthen it, the reinforcement. And then you've got that carbon sort of veil on top to help protect the surface of the whole package, if you like. So the next challenge with UV carbon is obviously to make that, like you mentioned, sort of thicker. How do you make it, you know, can apply it to different kind of vessels as you develop more boats for different contexts? But excitingly, I guess making sure that you can do it arguably at some sort of scale and not compromise, obviously, the quality and the performance of the boats that you're creating. Because it's one thing to have a really sustainable boat, but you want it to be useful and for it to perform, for it to be fast, etc. So how does that process work? Like, what are the kind of design questions that you have to ask in that process to make sure that you ultimately also end up with a beautiful, high performance, relatively affordable product?
When we started producing this kind of component using the recycled carbon fiber, so our focus, as ReCarbon says, is mainly on the carbon fiber. Recycled carbon fiber is more expensive than virgin glass fiber, but it's cheaper, of course, than virgin carbon fiber. As Alessandro said, in the nautical, in the marine market, of course, normally the main focus was for decades, it has always been into the fiberglass plastics or reinforced plastic. When we deal with recycled carbon fiber, we are more expensive, a bit more expensive, generally speaking. But of course, also we can have better mechanical properties. So when we produce the sandwich panel, we make them in one shot without using bonding, as I said. So that allows us to have a cheaper process in order to compensate. We can say it's a trade-off in between the cost of the material and the cost of the process, so that in the end, we are in the same terms of the classic traditional glass fiber or wood panel. You know, the marine wood is also expensive. And not only, because when we produce these kind of sandwich panels, we also reach up to 30-35% increase in the mechanical properties and also a reduction about 30-40% in the weight. So this allow the end user, in this case, NL Comp or other one, to also choose trade-off between weight, mechanical properties, and these allow the end user to have the really best solution, you know, in terms of weight reduction, performances, etc. As I said, with NL Comp, we are trying to avoid the use of any kind of thermoset resins or bonding. So we are working, in order not to disclose too much, but we are working into the mechanical bonding, we can say, in order to also have a better manutability in terms of change spare parts. You don't have to change all the boat or the hull, but not only, also with thermoplastic, you can say thermoplastic resin or thermoplastic bonding, we can say using the behavior of the thermoplastic itself. So we expect really good results within this year, really.
And Ali, from your perspective, what was it for NL Composite? Because appreciating you have got, you know, you are building a brand and a reputation for, you know, exceptional racing boats as well. I mean, the Eco Race is a great example. You've been winner of World Sustainability Awards with World Sailing. So how important was this for you also in the process of performance and aesthetic, as well as more sustainable materials?
It was the key point, because sustainability is fundamental for us, but from the industrial point of view, cannot accept, let's say, a big trade-off, a big compromise to performances. So the point was to develop a material that was as performance as classical glass fiber, but also more sustainable and recyclable. This was the key point of 3 years of research and development that we carried out since the beginning of our activity. And at the same time, we wanted to be also as cheap as glass fiber. That is pretty cheap. And this is one of the points of it, usually success in many industrial fields. The work started from the PhD of one of the founders that was then carried out within the startup. The main problem was in finding the correct manufacturing parameters to allow the production of this material that ended up to be this air composite we patented. And it's composed by, as I said before, thermoplastic resin, flex fiber mainly, but in general, natural fibers, and recycled carbon fiber. We need all these components in order to have the same performance as glass fiber, and also a good surface finish. That's fundamental when we were producing both, because we need very, very smooth surfaces in order to be very hydrodynamic and go fast, of course. Once we had the material in the laboratory, we validate the process we develop to create this material, and we start building a small dinghy that we launched together in 2021. And then we scale it up and we build the Eco Racer 25, that's 7.5 meters racing boat. It was, let's say, still a prototype, but it was able to win the Italian Sport Boat Championship, the Sustainability Award, the Yacht of the Year nomination. So it was a huge success and we are really proud of it. And Eco 25 then helped us to finally develop Eco Racer 30. That's our main product up to now. And it's a 9-meter racing boat made in this case of a mix of glass and carbon fiber to increase the performance, but still maintaining the recyclability of the product, of course. And it was a huge success, the launch of Eco Racer 30 that was done last year in the occasion of the arrival of the Ocean Race here in Genova. And it was amazing.
It's an incredible, incredible achievement. And I remember it obviously well with the Ocean Race, and it's a really cool partnership that you had on board there. I think also it's proving that this technology is not only applicable, obviously, to hulls. I mean, as you know, there are a whole load of use cases for structural application of the kind of technology and the materials that you guys are developing together. So from your industrial machinery and the furniture industry, I know obviously with the Ocean Race, a couple of panels being made here and there, as opposed to the whole boat hulls, and also wind turbines. I mean, this is, whilst obviously end of life boats are probably one of the biggest burning issues in the marine industry, the technology you're creating, I mean, this is material science, and you can apply that material to a whole lot of different industries. How scalable is it, and how widespread do you hope this technology becomes for yourself and also for the industry more broadly? Is it possible to do it at scale?
I mean, we at Enelcom, we develop a material. I would say that we are not only boat builders, but we are a research company that develops sustainable composite materials. And we have done this by changing the manufacturing process, changing the manufacturing parameters, the materials involved, to achieve the same performance as the classic composite with a sustainable product. So I would say that the baseline of the manufacturing process is the same as the one used today, but with some updated to make it sustainable. So in this sense, the process is as scalable as the actual one. In fact, as you were saying before, glass fiber is not only an issue of boat building, but also in the wind turbine industry. And we have a joint venture with another Italian company to make the first wind turbine blade made out of our composite. We launched it 2 months ago, this partnership. This is another great challenge. From the industrial point of view, there is still some resistance, I would say, but this is physiological because we are using glass fiber since the 1920s, so it's almost 100 years. It works perfectly, so why we need to change it? It's cheap, no maintenance, lightweight, a good performance. And I mean, I can understand why industries don't want to revolutionize this kind of process. And this is why we needed to let them know that our product does not change the way they are doing, but it can help to innovate them. And in this sense, we are finding some great partnership with some Italian shipyards. For example, the new Grand Soleil Blue that was launched in the last Cannes festival will be made entirely by our technology or composite. So this is an amazing success for us. And also, it was a great bet from Grand Soleil to invest in our technology. We also have some collaboration with San Giorgio Marine, that is a new shipyard here in Genova that is building the new Musa 40, the one that just won the Transagia Club with Ambrogio Beccaria. And we're still in a research process to make some part of this boat with our material. For Ambrogio, we made some small structures that go back and forth through the ocean and came back in perfect condition. So We're really happy about it. We are keep testing the material in different environment and under different loading condition, and it's worked incredibly well, I would say.
That's great news, Ali. And I think, like anything, you know, you are trying to change an industry, which, as you said, the sort of basic composite hadn't changed since the 40s, 50s, which is a long time for an industry and for all of us, even as consumers, to become very wedded to a particular way of doing things. So it's really cool to hear the progress that you're making already. And like you said, whether it's wind turbine blades or otherwise, you know, these things have got exceptionally finite design parameters for the strength and integrity needed, right? So I appreciate it is a bit of a journey to convert those industries to understanding the same can be achieved with ultimately at times a lighter weight material, as you guys are talking about, with the same structural integrity, if not even stronger, with that whole element of recyclability at the end. So I appreciate it's a lot to convert, but it sounds like you're making exceptional progress in it. I do want to grill you, Patrick, slightly on the carbon point, because it is fascinating. And obviously for everyday lay people like myself, non-design engineers, the sustainable engineers, obviously carbon and carbon dioxide are everywhere, right? It's an essential component and building block of our natural environment found in all of us and most things. And appreciate obviously the more recent narrative and sort of scientific studies showing that obviously the excess carbon dioxide is an issue. So capturing that and reusing it if possible, or burying it or storing it, is obviously something that many minds are trying to work towards. But how is it, and what is ReCarbon's process around taking that excess carbon dioxide and methane, I think, and reusing it somehow, not only obviously trying to extract it from the environment where there is too much of it ultimately, but also using it again for something that's quite useful. How does that work?
So starting from the very old, we can say that, just to make a little introduction into the carbon fiber market, it's important to understand one thing, that each year more than 30,000 tons of carbon fiber become waste, in total of more than 120 tons of new carbon fiber produced. So likely 30% of the new carbon fiber in the same year become, in the whole production chain, become waste. So if we could manage to reuse and recycle all the produced waste, we would have saved each year 450,000 kilotons of CO2 carbon dioxide. So it's really a big amount. Of course, it's theoretical, it's not possible, but that's the basis, the main focus. When we started ReCarbon, basically we had a former, and we had also still have, but we had a former company, which was a consultancy company in the mainly automotive and aerospace markets. And we had an important request from an important Italian OEM, high-end OEM, in order to recover their own waste. They produced like 20, 30 tons of carbon fiber waste on the every form, from the dry fiber to the polymerized, to the cured one. So every kind of waste, in order to recover them in new product, in their new production, in their new cars. So what we do in ReCarbon was, that was the main point, because we looked into the market and we find out that there was a missing loop between the recovering of the waste itself and the reintroduction into the market in terms of new intermediate products, which were be able to be transformed and to be used by the end users. That's why we founded the ReCarbon, and as ReCarbon, we can manage all the chain through partnership. Of course, we are just a nearly 2 years old company, so it's impossible to make everything by ourselves. What we do internally is the production of the intermediate products, and we also can manage through partnership, with stable partnership, also the management of the waste, of the carbon fiber waste. So we can collect the waste, retransform them, and reintroduce into the market. When you spoke in the beginning, when you asked me about the carbon dioxide, the CO2, that's the main point. When you produce new virgin carbon fiber, you have to reach more than 1,000 degrees Celsius degrees to produce the fiber itself. When you recover the waste, so when you go through two kind of recovering, you can have a chemical one, so volysis, but you have to deal with acid, and it's difficult to have also the in terms of bureaucracy, etc. It's better to avoid it. And the other kind is the pyrolysis. When you pyrolyze the carbon fiber waste, you don't have to reach the 1000 and more, 1000 and a half degrees Celsius. You just have to reach 300, 400 degrees in order to, we can say, degrade the resin. That's why it's immediately understandable that you have different terms of energy consumption. Of course, it's not a 100% eco-sustainable process. Of course, would be not real. But of course, it's really low. You have a reduction of around 80% in terms of CO2 and carbon dioxide, GWP. So we have a strong reduction, 80%. Of course, it's not 99, it's not 100, but it's impossible also to think about it. But this is an improvement because you strongly reduce the carbon dioxide from the very beginning when you produce the new material with the carbon fiber waste. So when you start with this important reduction, that's easier because you already have a strong reduction. Then all you do in the further steps, it's a consequence of this. So you have a greener, you can say, not 100% green, but strongly greener products in terms of LCA. We made also all the LCA evaluation, which are going to be mandatory in the next, probably in the next years. But we already started with that kind of application and study because for our company it was really important to have a surplus also in these terms, in terms of sustainability aspects. So yes, we can say that, as I said, when we are referring to the virgin carbon fiber, we reduce up to 80% the carbon dioxide. When we deal with the virgin glass fiber, so comparing with the virgin glass fiber, we have a slightly less reduction in terms of a half. We are likely a half better in terms of carbon dioxide, but which is actually still better, of course, really better. And it's really important because you can't reach a really 100% sustainability, a sustainable process. What we suggest, and that's why we focus on the thermoplastic also, it's not only to reduce the carbon dioxide in the beginning of introducing the new component, but also because you can have a reusable and a recyclable component. So the better thing, of course, it's to avoid the introduction of every new component each time. You know, if you can manage to reuse, recycle them, it will be better, of course, in terms of the LCA itself. So that's the first point. And also with NL Comp, they focus it's always on the thermoplastic. That's why we work together and we match in this kind of processes, etc. Because you see, Alessandro was speaking also about the wind blades. The first wind, you can say the wind farms with wind blade farms, and now are at the end of their life, the 25, 30 years ago, now we have to be dismantled in the next few years. So that is glass fiber, but in terms of concept, it's the same. So if you avoid to use worse material in terms of thermoset, etc., for new blades, for new components in the automotive, in the marine, etc., you avoid to have the problem 20, 30 years later in the time to have the problem of recovering them. We started to recover them and producing and reintroducing the waste of the past, we can say, but the focus is also to change the future. So change the conception of the idea of working with the waste and the thermoplastic in this kind is something that allow you to allow a better management of the end of life. Because what can be an end of life, like in the marine, like a panel in the marine, could be a new product in another market like furniture or other things. So you can also extend the life, the lifespan of the component, maybe for the double of the normal time. So you can have shifted the problem in the decades. And also whenever it's a time to recover the end of life of the component after the reuse, you can also recycle it because it's thermoplastic. That's basically the idea.
It's incredible. And I think there's a couple of points there. I mean, reducing anything by 50% is already a massive win. 80% is just nuts. frankly. And even, you know, indicative of the temperatures you're talking about, taking it from almost 100% down to 10% in terms of even just the energy required in order to sort of transmutate that sort of material into something different is really astounding. So I can really understand how this technology and material sort of science is really changing the way that we've done things across industry. And I think the second most exciting element is exactly what you've just indicated, Patrick, is the fact that we don't have to be thinking in isolation as an industry. Right? The marine industry is an industry in which materials are used for specific purposes, normally under incredible force, exposed to some incredible elements, whether it's wind, whether it's UV, salt water, a lot of pressures. But there are a lot of other industries thereafter that could be using that material for much less intensive means. One day it's a mast, and the next day it could be something very mundane in everyday life, you know, whether it's your coffee cup or something else. Point is that we can be exercising that usefulness across our industries as a material, you know, automatically and gently loses its integrity over time. So I think that's what's the most exciting about it in some ways, is that we don't need to be thinking in isolation to solve an issue, when actually this is really a question of material science. And as you know, we've got the same technology or bits and pieces in our phones that also appear in a whole myriad of different industries in the world. So I think that's what's genuinely incredibly exciting area, is to be thinking across different fields rather than just one same one. I appreciate as engineers that makes total sense to you, but I think certainly for thinking on the industry, trying to solve the end of life issue, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to solve it in marine for marine. It is a material which could have another use in another context quite readily. We just need to find it. What's your advice? I mean, obviously, start with you, Alessandro. You know, you're 5 years old, NL Composite, you've achieved a lot so far, but appreciate this still remains quite new technology and a newish way of thinking to much of our industry as the marine industry, but also other industries, as you mentioned, still having to take obviously people on the journey with you. What's your advice or ask of the industry to help support the future of more sustainable boat building in particular?
Although there is a greater awareness of existing solutions, of course, they can be adapted to specific needs of each manufacturer. I mean, it's just a matter of believing in it a little more. You know, different markets have a different consideration of also of their weights, etc. It's just a matter of believing it, anticipating regulations, because the regulations are coming from European Union, national regulations, etc., etc. So in terms of sustainability, everything is moving. Some markets already did, the automotive especially. They are already introducing, you know, big OEMs. Also, you may probably saw the in the television advertising, etc. Each kind of OEM is declaring and saying that they will reduce by 40% the carbon dioxide within the 2030, like something like this, because the regulations are coming. So they already spent their word, we can say. In the marine is a bit different, of course, but also it's a different market. But the issue about the end of life of the boat, it's real, it's tangible, it's a bad condition of in terms of sustainability. So it's just a term of anticipating and believing more into the whole aspect. So anticipating the regulation just to keep the sustainable direction and heading into a new era, you can say. So also in terms of if you are an OEM, a brand, a big producer of boat, you can anticipate the market. So we'll be the first mover. It's always better, of course. Also in terms of your image, what's your imprinting into the people, into the awareness about the problem. So that's important. You know, in these days, 2024, also in terms of image, we can say in the social, etc., it's fundamental, you know. So it's a big deal. The suggestion is to start the path into the sustainable direction, believing, because it's not greenwashing. It's a real deal. It's a real solution, we can say.
I think you're absolutely right. And importantly, something you mentioned there is almost you move or you be moved. And actually, regulation does take a while to catch up, as we're seeing in the end of life boating element. It's taken decades. And I appreciate that these materials have been built to last as long as possible. until taste change, until they get a bit too old and tattered. Our requirements for boats have changed dramatically, even in the last 15 years, let alone the last 50, 60. So I think to your point, regulation is catching up and therefore something does need to be done. I appreciate even just this week, there are calls from Europe, obviously, to start the boat registration process as an example, the same as you would register your car. Why would we not register our boats so that we can better track end of life vessels? Obviously, it does cost harbour authorities around the world and landowners a lot of money to clear up end-of-life boats because they get dumped and no one knows who they belong to often. So it's an imperfect system, to say the least. So I agree entirely. Move or be moved, as we will see. And from NL Composite, Alessandro, what is your main ask of the industry going forward to help more sustainable boat building?
From the boat building perspective, changing the way to make boats with a more sustainable technology could be a really added value to the boat itself. In fact, as was Patrick saying, the environmental problem is central in all the economical aspects, and especially in Western country, and for and even more for like high-end product like a leisure boat, let's say. And people are also willing to spend money to invest into a product that will be also sustainable for making our planet a better place in the future. And other than that, it's important to know that when a person buys a boat, then after 20 years, now after 20 years that he's sailing around, he really don't know what to do with the boat itself. So they are just keeping, like, abandoning them in shipyard, and nobody is really dealing with this problem. As you said, the registration of the boat could be a good starting point to create awareness of this kind of issue. But if we can propose to the market a solution that says not only we are making like your boat more sustainable with the same performance, same characteristic, and I would say also same prices, because like up to now our technology or composite is like 10% more expensive than glass fiber, but this 10% is not intrinsic in the process, but is due to the more expensive fiber, because natural fibers are not produced in such a big amount as glass fibers, so they are more expensive. But if we can like be the traction to move towards this path, also cost would decrease, and this became a sustainable solution from all point of view. And we are, as I was saying, we are giving to the market not only a product that today is better, but we are also like giving a solution for 20 years from now when you have to get rid of the boat. Because we can say, okay, give it back to us, so we can dismantle it, we can recycle all the materials, and we will go to, I would say, an ideal zero waste industry.
That's very exciting, because ultimately, as you know, Patrick, you talked a lot about sort of life cycle analysis, the sort of LCA, life cycle assessment of any kind of material or product. But I think that's what we're also seeing, talking again about regulation, is that, you know, if I produce something, ultimately it's my responsibility to then deal with it at end of life. And we are seeing even in the UK and Europe, movement being made towards legislation around this, that it ultimately becomes the producer's problem to dispose of, recycle, reuse or otherwise material. And I think obviously a lot of that's promulgated by the plastic industry in particular, that's obviously come to everyone's attention most prominently over the last 5 years, I think, and plastic pollution. But ultimately, if I produce a can of soda, then ultimately it becomes my issue once the consumer's bought that, drunk it, to then take that can back and do something with it. And what you're achieving already, your mindset is very much around, cool, well, I know in a couple of years' time, 10, 20, however long, I'm ultimately going to get that, effectively that base resource back to rebuild something with. And you can actually start building that into your, almost like your resource plan. You don't need to be producing virgin, effectively virgin all the time, even if your virgin material is effectively recarbon already and natural fibers that have already been kind of used once. So it's an exceptionally exciting, but exceptionally tense time, I'd say, to be a producer of anything, because as Patrick said, like we are, I think, as an industry and more broadly as a society, going to get caught out unless we kind of think bigger, more quickly around end of life materials. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would like really to close with a consideration to leave with the listener. What really happens today to the boats? They are no recyclable waste, unsustainable at all. We can say that no matter what they say, the people say, no matter what the OEM say, no matter what advertising say, at this moment, today, the boats are unsustainable. We can say that it's real, no? It's unsustainable. So we, Recarbon and NLComp, together or not together, but same way, somehow, we are working to solve these problems by creating material, new technology that are really sustainable in terms of both intrinsically and also for the, as I said, as we mentioned many times today, for the end of life of the component. So in terms of a real recoverability of the material and a real reuse of the waste. That's it. That's all in the focus.
Mic drop. I think that was really poignant, Patrick. Alessandro, Patrick, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's a real pleasure. I'm both excited and somewhat in awe of your minds and your teams being able to really address this decade-long issue and see it as an opportunity. So thank you both so much for your time. We wish you all the best and please keep us updated.
Thank you, Holly.
Thank you, Holly.
Really, for hosting us. It was an incredible pleasure to be hosted today. So thank you again.
Grazie mille.
It was a pleasure being here.
You've been listening to the Clean Sailors podcast. All relevant links to the projects and people we talk to can be found with the podcast link. For all episodes or to get in touch, just visit cleansailors.com. We love to hear from you. We believe that great ideas should be shared, which is why our podcast is free to appear on. So if you've got a project, idea, or topic you think we should be discussing, get in touch. In the meantime, thank you for listening and see you for the next episode.